Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you for the prayer, and thank you for the little get-togethers we have here before we get started. Go with me back to John 7 again, and I didn't realize when I got started in Luke and then John that there was that much information here, but the information that we have gotten there has been a great blessing to me, because I hadn't looked at it as one thing. I'd been in it and out of it, and in it and out of it somewhat. And to realize and to understand what Jesus had to go through with, and to realize that the things that were against Christ was, of course, Satan's doing. And to realize this, really sometimes throws a little loop into your thoughts sometimes. Look what he had to go through with. It was just something all the time that got started, and I went back and looked at some of my notes further back, and I found out that talked about Pool of Siloam and the man that was there, and he had never gotten his the satisfaction with his being able to get in the water and be healed, and to realize that you know, that started back a pretty good little ways back. And to realize that they didn't let up on him. He was involved everywhere, every way you turn. He was buffeted with the things of Satan that was put up before him in order that these things would come about in the way that God had meant for them to come about. Turn with me back to John 7:22. I want to start there. And I know we went a couple of these verses last time, but I want to pick up there and get back into it this way, if possible. And we'll start with verse 22 of John 7. It says, Moses, therefore, and therefore is for this cause, and that cause there was in the appendix 104 V for 5 and 2. It says, gave unto you circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, full stop. And so circumcision here had been around ever since Genesis, okay? So it was not something that came up later on, but it was something that was here not too deep into the creation of Adam and the things that went on there when God gave the land to the people. But it says Moses mentioned the precept only in Exodus 12:44 and verse 48. And also in Leviticus 12:3. Now the law was not given by Moses for circumcision, I guess, but it was given by God. But based upon Genesis 17:9 through 14. Genesis chapter 17, 9 through 14, and it was given by the fathers. And, of course, one of them being Abraham. Abraham had been promised a lot of things because of him being the monarch, kind of the new beginning. And it says, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcised a man or an anthropos in verse 22. So, the circumcision of the man here was on the Sabbath day. Okay. And we get on down to verse 23. And it says, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. We need to stop and think about that a minute. That's another full stop here. And then Jesus, as he is speaking to these folks, he says, are you angry at me? Because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. And of course, the man here was the man at the pool of Siloam. And he had been there off and on, I think, carried back and forth. I don't think he had a place where he could call home there, but I think he was there during these times waiting, and he's waiting 38 years for his healing to come about. And he couldn't get in the pool because someone was always getting in the pool in front of him. I'm not sure how all that worked, but anyway, it had been worked out to where these people would gather up at these porticos here where the water come down and come down to the water. But now this water was intermittent. It was not on flowing. It would stop itself. It was kind of like the geysers that you have in Yellowstone. The guys are in Yellowstone, they call it Old Faithful because it pretty well stays on schedule. There's just a certain area there that when it fills up, it's going to spew out because it doesn't have the capacity to hold an excess of water beyond that point. But, here, they had built these troughs or these sluices, if you will, to do this. And this water that went into the pool there, and it was the pool there was there for the giving water to the beast that were to be used for sacrifices. And so it wasn't, you know, they couldn't time the thing because it was not. It was erratic in the way that it was done, but it was a natural of spring that was doing this. Okay. In verse 29, it says this. Wait a minute. Verse 23, we just read. 24 says this. Okay. Verse 24 says this. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. So, they didn't want nobody to have ill will toward the water because the water was needed and the water was necessary at this point. So, judge not according, and that the Greek word kata there. And that's App 104, X, which is 10-2, to the appearance side. I.e., the object or onward appearance, but judge righteousness. And that's figure six. And, that's poiplotai, meaning don't make a judgment there because God is doing the judging there and it's not man, and the water comes according to God's will and not man's will. And that's appendage 177-7. If you want to look at it sometime, look at that, because we've got a lot to cover and a lot to go through, and we're going to go as far as we can, but when we run out of time, we'll pick it up next time and go on. But don't judge it because of something that man might have done with it, because I think all this was the hand of God at work, if that really did happen in the way they said it does here in this. And this is not the last time you're going to see this. This man was here for the 38 years trying to get healed. And so when Jesus showed up and he's the savior of the world, and when he showed up, he looked this man up that had been there for that length of time. Then we get to verse 25 and it says, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is this not he whom they seek or are seeking to kill? Says, is this Jesus? Is this the one they're planning on doing again if they get a chance to do it? And so you see what Jesus was up to in that situation. He says, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? And then we get down to the next verse, 26. It says, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know, indeed, that this is the very Christ? So there was a question here in 26. And it's one that we need to look at because they're not really sure that they've got who they've got, or they're not really sure that this is man who says he's God's son, that that's really who they want. They want to be sure. And I think, you know, in law, and in all law, you want to be certain of something if you're going to do something, especially if it means taking someone's life. And he says, but lo. And that word, the Greek word there is udein, or the compound of um. Gets boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Like, are they scared of him?
Yeah.
Or do they have the right man? Or do they not know what they're really doing? They're just there to antagonize or to do what they can do. Because him saying he and the Father are one. Okay. And it said, and the rulers know indeed. Do the rulers know indeed for sure? Now, the rulers had not ascertained, have they? Hence the word, if it was, the word could be used indeed. And that, and that Greek word indeed there is Eliphas, truly or really, same as indeed. All the texts omit that. If a ruler was to make a charge against someone, he must be sure, because his life would be in peril if that be the case and they find that that wasn't the right thing to do. Okay. So the question is, and it still is here, as far as verse 26, is this the very Christ or the Messiah that they were looking for? This was what they needed to know for a certainty, if possible. So we get to the question here in verse 27. And 27 says, how be it? We know this man or this one and whence he is. So wait a minute. I said, we know this guy. He's Joseph and Mary's son.
Yeah.
This was part of the question. This was part of the getting down to the nitty gritty of who he is and who we're dealing with. And he is the son of Joseph and Mary. But when Christ cometh, it says, when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. So they had always heard in their mind, and with the hierarchy of the Jews, that no man's going to really know for sure whether he is or not. So the rabbis taught that when he would come from Bethlehem, and then he hid, but none knew where. It was like the rabbi said, well, if he comes from Bethlehem, it's always said that nothing good would come out of Bethlehem.
Nazareth.
But it was the same area.
Yeah.
But here we are with a situation that the rabbis even were using Satan's ploy to use against the thought that, well, this man that was Joseph Mary's son, he couldn't be it. He couldn't be it. And yet, see, they couldn't know or understand God's wisdom in doing these things this way.
The Lord's problem was he didn't fit their picture of what they said he was going to be.
Right.
And they were totally misunderstanding.
Right. But he for sure knew who he was and what he was doing. Yeah. So there was always, we're going to juggle this thing a little bit. We're going to keep juggling it until we get to a point here. Okay. So the rabbis were using whatever fake they could to say, no, this is just Mary and Joseph's kid. But the fact is, they had been told down through the ages that a virgin would come and provide the Messiah was a virgin birth. And somewhere in the line, and it was in the line of David, that one would come and become he. And so this really blowed your mind. So they're hearing one thing here and they're hearing one thing here, and they're trying to get the truth out. And Jesus, of course, could prove his sayings because he said, I only tell you about my Father because I know my Father and you don't know my Father. So then cried Jesus, or he continued to speak boldly to the Jews in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know whence I am. And I have or am not come. I have not or am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true. And the truth there of true in the Greek is aethanos, I think is the way I pronounce it. And I said, whom you know not, truth, but that's what I've said, and that's the word for it. So, he goes on in verse 29 and says, that I know him, full stop.
Don't you know that in chapter?
None of them there could make a statement like that. And they knew it. For the most part. But some of them might not would admit it, that they knew it. He said, for I am from or beside him, para. So he has been beside the Father, yes, has. And he has sent. And that word in the Greek is apostello, to apostolize or to teach. He has sent me to teach. And that's Acts 174:1. And so this was another big, clod in the churn, if you will, because only he could say that. They couldn't say that. None of them there could say that. Whether they had some belief or whether they didn't, it just didn't fit them, but it fit him. And it said, then they sought or were seeking to take or to arrest him, full stop. So they were still out in the woods with this thing. It was nice. Signed, sealed, and delivered at all. Not at all. He said, but no man laid hands on him because his time was not yet come. Well, how much does it take for them to understand that there's something about this guy that I can't get to? He's over here telling us stuff. We can't touch him.
They put up with it until he said, I am from beside my Father.
Yeah.
But he sent me. They couldn't take it no more.
Every little part of this thing, every little piece of this puzzle here goes right back to the pricking of their heart and the pricking of their mind. Because it's something, if you've never been really told or shown these things in a real way, and you have no basis for the understanding that it's bringing to you, then you're lost. Really, truly lost. If you don't know, you're lost. They're lost. They're out in the woods. They're lost here. They seeing all this go on, but they're still don't believe. 31. and said, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? So this man here is still saying that there was many more here that didn't believe than what did believe, I think. Because the ones that did believe on him, but they had a question and said, well, when Christ comes, will he do more? Is there going to be a greater picture given to us
than what this guy's done?
And what we got, this guy's saying?
Yeah.
And there he stands telling us this stuff and we can't touch him.
Well, he could back it up with the miracle too. That was,
yeah,
and the power. Yeah.
That's absolutely true. So, and it was to do these signs with this man hath done. You see, some of them had seen the signs already. And Simeon, at 176-3, the signs that they were looking for, they always seek for a sign. And it was just compounding these things over and over and over into a bigger thing. It was just like it was growing and growing. And then we get from verse 32 to verse 43, the actions of or with the prophets and others that were there. So the Pharisees were in this group with some of these other Jews. And the Pharisees heard. That the people murmured, well, the people murmured in the wilderness and God heard.
Yeah.
But the Pharisees heard this and they don't have the power to do anything about it. They could hear the murmuring going on, such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers, to take him. So they finally come around and said, well, we got to get to the root of this thing. So it's best that we have him in bonds or in our grasp, so to speak. Well, that didn't work out too good. So in verse 33, then said Jesus unto them. So he saw all this workings out coming about, but he knew that his time wasn't yet. So he said, yet a little while am I with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. Wow. Well, that's like throwing gasoline on the Pharisees.
And the other, if it could get any other,
if it could get any worse, it was going to. And so, he was telling them the whole time that he was the person. Or he was the savior, but they couldn't take it. And it was just blowing their socks off, so to speak. And verse 34, he said this, you shall or you will seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. He says, whether I go to, you can't go there. You can't come. And so sending the officers to fetch him, and it's not his time, that's not evidently not working very well. And so he's telling them, well, where I'm going to go to, you can't go there. You're not able to do that. Gee, what kind of a little uproar do you think that made? And in 35, it said, then said the Jews among themselves, this was their version of murmuring, where will he go unto, or is about to go unto the dispersed among the diaspora, or the scattered, those which as which were scattered abroad, literally in the dispersion, and teach Gentiles. And there's a note here on this, and we need to look at that too, and I'll read it because I didn't write it down because it was rather long. Well, so here's the thing. They said, well, is he going to go off to the Gentiles? For those that are dispersed, is he going to go teach, preach and teach them too? Because if he's going to teach us, surely we can find something out of that that we might use. Now the word Gentile, those which are scattered abroad, literally in the dispersion, among or of Gentiles, as we call them. So called from the Latin gentis, nation, as distinguished by race, hence used of nations as distinct from the one nation, Israel, like Genesis 12:2, and with Genesis, I guess, 14:1-9, in the Hebrew, Gokian, rendered in the AV, nations, 371 times, the word heathen, and 143 times, Gentiles, 30 times, and people, 11 times in the New Testament days, Greeks, Greece being the great dominating nation in arms, literature, and language, the word Hellenes became the New Testament word for all men, all non-Jews, or Hellenes. And that's the son of Deucalion, being the legendary ancestor of the great nation with Homer and Ithdad 2:648. Helling had been already used in the Septuagint version of the Philistines, Isaiah 9:12, and of the sons of Javan, Zechariah 9:13, and Maccabees 8:18, and 2 Maccabees 4:36, And Josephus got involved in it also. And the Hellenes in the New Testament never meant Jews, but is always distinguished from them. And then you've got a bunch of scripture there that gives you that information of that. In Acts, a lot. Romans, a lot. Galatians, two places. And Colossians, one place. And it said, on the other hand, the Greek Hellenes, and the Hellenized and speaking Greek is used of those who were Jews by birth, but also spoke Greek. It occurred three times and is rendered Grecians in Acts 6:1, 9:29, and 11:20. So you've got a lot of baggage here that, has been shown, on the word Gentiles and in opposition to the Jews. And then you've got some that spoke Greek. Both of the Jews or the Greeks, of course, spoke their language, spoke Greek. And some had intermarried. I think Paul's father was a Greek, wasn't he? And later on in the word. But here we are with all these variations and groups that started mingling with each other. It was a pretty big group of these people. And so I wanted to get you verse 35 and get that in there because I didn't want to have to write it all down at one time. I was kind of getting tired of writing.
That's a long note there.
Yeah, but I got one.
Really, you even need that note to distinguish between what you're talking about.
Yeah, but there's a longer one in verse 38 than 39.
I see you got a whole page there.
And, I didn't know how long this was going to take anyway, but we'll get down to verse 36. And it says this, where he was talking about among the Jews to teach the Gentiles. And the question was, what manner of saying is this that he said? Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. So, talking about all these different varieties of people that we have here now in the Old Testament and some in the New, and so he said, among themselves, the Jews could not come to a clear report. What manner of sayings or logos is that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am thither you cannot come. So, verses 37 to 39 is a longer dissertation than we just read. And, okay, so let's go on to 37. It said, in the last day, or the great day of the feast. Now, this is not the last day that we normally think about, but they were here at the feast week. And they talked about going in and cleaning out the temple and throwing out the ones that was setting stuff and all in it and getting rid of them for a while, at least for a little while. And it said, and Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Well, you think that helped any? Well, I remember back at the well when Jesus was sitting there and waiting on his men to come back town where it was with food. And this lady come up with a rope and a pitcher or some kind of
water pot
that she could get water out of this 95-foot well that had been given to Joseph. And the subject got started, and she asked him, said, well, why are you sitting here at a well without any way of getting water? And they said, well, you wouldn't ask me that question if you knew who I was. And that sparked another question. It says, they, like the Sanhedrin woman at the well, did not understand that which was written unto them. And it had been written unto them in Deuteronomy, I think it was, that when one come, he would have living waters. And that's what he told her. He said, if you had understood who I am, then you would not have had to ask that question. Because I have the living waters. And she said, how can I have the living waters to drink? And so I think that was part of the reason why that he didn't send his disciples to the Samaritans the first time around. Whenever they paired them up two by two and they went out, he said, don't go into the Samaritans.
Sure.
Because they were in idolatry. They were doing the idolatrous things even where they lived at that point. They had gone away from God's word that far. And Jesus, I'm sure, looked at him and said, you don't have all the answers to what you need to know to get involved with the Samaritans. But then he turned around and told this Samaritan woman, everybody that she'd ever stayed with or lived with or had relationships with. And he said, the one you're living with now is not your husband. It hadn't been about.
Yeah.
But it said in verse 38, and I'll just read you my notes because I already got them written, so I might as well read them. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. With the previous verse, it said, let him drink that believeth on me. So his belly was put as a figure of synecdoche, of the part in out sick for the whole person, and it's done for emphasis. There's a big section in appendage 6 there that does this, and when it speaks of something that needs to be more formal or more established with these people in their heads, he have to go back to them and get all the words that they've heard that it might have pertained to. that they might come to an understanding. So the Synodici was of the part for the whole person, for emphasis, himself here. Reassuring to Messiah or the giver and not to the believer. He is and will be the source of all spiritual blessings. The scripture says so in Isaiah 12:3, and verse 55, verse 12, and Ezekiel 47:1, Joel 3:18, and Zechariah 13:1, and 14:8, and the app number is the app 107. His equals referring not to the believer, the receiver, but to the Lord, which is the giver. He shall flow. The Greek word there is rio. It's like rivers. Thus is the emphatic word by the figure hyperbaton, app 6, implying the abundance of that. It is like a river of water of abundance. It just keeps flowing, nonstop, basically. And that's Numbers 20, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, 4, and in the word living water, or living for the waters, is verse, in, I guess, 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 10. So that was what was said there in verse 38. But that wasn't really all that they wanted to hear. So we'll read 39 because it says, 37, 38, and 39 generally go together. This is a parenthetical insertion. He says, but thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. It hasn't become his time yet for him to receive that Holy Spirit, because he must die and go to the cross and take the sins of the people and be with them a short period of time. And then he was to go back beside the Father. You remember when he said, have set par or by him? Mm-hmm. Well, evidently he has before and will again. So they said that they should believe on him, should receive, because this is, therefore, and it's full stop there. So when you think about it, so therefore the Holy Ghost was not yet given. That was the reason. Why the therefore was therefore, or the full stop was there. Think about it. Think about it. Something else has got to take place. Because the Jews was not yet glorified, referring to the gift of pneumahagion with the next cause, or to which he was given, and the believers and the recipients. was those of appendage 104, number 2, outline 14. These are not articles. These things were not, didn't have the there. It denotes the gift given by the giver and received by the believer as promised. In Acts 1:5, and it was fulfilled in Acts 2:4. That was when the Holy Spirit came upon the people and the people that was standing there hearing these, things being spoken in their own language. Some people thought they were drunk. No, they weren't drunk. They just received the Comforter, as the word says.
Amen.
Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, Alethos, or indeed it is truth. And indeed, this is the prophet. Talking about him that knoweth these things. That he is the prophet. And it says, others said this is the Christ, but some others said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? They still after the Galilee thing. And so, that time, but that's what I said. Okay. Now there's something about this thing of the water and the pool that we're going to go through. Because it's not done yet. Although we've talked about it, we've seen there that Christ went down to the well and that he healed the man without him getting in the water. And he told him to take up his bed and go home. And it was on the Sabbath day. Well, Christ asked the question to them already that they haven't answered. And the answer was, are you going to let that man stay there for a few more years and not be healed? Are you going to allow him to take up his bed and go home? Which is more important? Which is more important to humanize this thing? And so that was the question right here, right now, that they haven't answered. They haven't got that answer yet. And Christ made that a point here. He said, okay, you got after me at this place, at the pool. We're going back to it. We're going to bring this up again because I need the answer from you. To understand that you might believe what I'm saying. And so that's the reason I didn't go any further in my notes. I've read it, but I hadn't went to it in my notes.
Okay.
See, there was more to this pool of Siloam than we understand, I think, in the situation of how they looked at things and how it worked, whether it did actually work that way or not. But the fact Christ brought it back up himself to show them what it meant as to whether they were following things that were truthful or whether it was things that were covered up.
Yeah, where their hearts were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To give them some sense. Without saying, yes, I am God's son. Because when you get on over to when they get over to the judgment seat, and the guy there says, "Are you the Son of God?" He says, "That says that I am." But he's done everything but. But he has done that, but they still haven't believed him in that situation. And that was all these things that I'm looking at little by little as I go and get to these places. Says, well, that should give them an answer. That didn't give them an answer.
No, they had it so figured out that he didn't fit their mold.
No.
And when he didn't fit their mold, then they figured, well, he can't be the one. Yeah, he can't be wrong.
Yeah. No, we can't.
We can't be wrong. It's gotta be.
You know, the Pharisees gonna say that in there.
Wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Here we are. So, for nothing else, that's certainly something to look at and to realize that all this, we've gotten this far and all this, but he knows when his time is up, he's going to have to give it up.
Yeah.
Because this,
but he's in control.
All that's really come into play, but he's in control because he's already said, I only give my life up.
I got the power to lay it down. Yeah.
Absolutely.